What's happening?
Yo, 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 we back again, dog.
Come on,
Jesus
man.
Christ, man. Lots to unpack over here.
What a crazy season, man.
Bro, I can't believe that shit is over, dog. That shit really flew by.
Hey, man, I was just talking to some of my friends, like, that 2 weeks from the conference championships to the Super Bowl went by so quick, bro.
It did. I think part of it is because, I mean, nobody really cares about the Pro Bowl. Like, I really couldn't even tell you about just the way the NFL markets is. Nowhere near the All-Star game for the NBA, but that week was basically a throwaway, and the Super Bowl was already here.
Yeah.
That shit is crazy, though. We got to discuss that game, though. So it's a lot of points I want to get into. Let's dive right into this, though, because I'm an FSU fan. And obviously, you're an LSU fan, so maybe we might be parsing our answers here. But we got to talk about the biggest matchup of the day, though, right? We had Jalen Ramsey going head up with Ja'Marr Chase, right? You know, the old dog versus the young pup. He coming up. He really doing his thing in the league right now. We got to talk about that matchup.
I think it was 50-50. They both won some matchups. Of course, when the offense wins, it looks more polarizing because, you know, for the defense, for you to know that the defensive player won, you got to go back and watch the film. So,
right.
It was 50-50. I think it was 50-50. There were some times where he was open where he wasn't the first read, so the ball just didn't come to him. So, it was 50-50.
Yeah, I think someone released like an All-22 or anything. It was really hard to tell in the Super Bowl who was winning it, just like how you're saying. Because when the defense wins reps, we don't know because they either don't catch it and it's a big PBU or they just don't get the ball.
Right.
But when Chase wins reps, it's a 47-yard bomb or it's, you know, she shook Ramsey on a curl towards the end of the game. I believe those are the only two catches he had directly on a man-to-man. Right. But yeah, I'd have to say it was 50-50, dude. If you watch that All-22, Chase definitely got his. I'm a little partial to FSU. Because it was only two catches, I think Ramsey won the matchup. And mm-hmm. I think people over-exaggerating his demise, talking about, you know, he should retire, basically, is what's going around on movie set because he's done.
That's cap.
Yeah, he'll be fine, guys.
What are we talking about? How does Jalen's 27?
Come on, he's 27 years old, man. They saying he might have to hang it up soon.
Come on, what are we doing?
Yeah, but you know, obviously, then there was a big play to T. Higgins, which, you know, like it or not, that is yards on Jalen's head. Even if, you know, it doesn't count, you know, the game is a game. But you know, I think Chase definitely got his, and I think it was a war. And I think Chase is going to be special, dude. He's going to be right next up for that best wide receiver in the league talk.
Yeah, easily. Easily.
How does that feel watching him, like, grow instead as, like, a Louisiana, like, fan? Obviously, you know, you fall out of Louisiana sports. You was big on him when he was coming out. And obviously, all y'all boys coming out of LSU. So, is it cool to, like, go and head up in the Super Bowl like that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Just to see players, like, you know, just from the coaching aspect, when players get better, you know, when you see the wheels turn for them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a satisfying feeling. So, like, just, man, I'm not going to say I thought he was going to do this his rookie year, but, man. It was, I mean, like, you know, like, great things were expected, but not. I'm not gonna say this,
right? I about this shit is like, and obviously, I have to take back all of my slander about Stafford because the more I thought about the season, I mean, they did beat us, and part of me will always hate them for that because I really felt like we had one more shot to run it back and beat people, but. Seeing what he went through in Detroit, it's a little bit to compare it to the NBA. It's a little bit like what D-Book was obviously going through on the Phoenix Suns. He was in L for right. You know, a decade plus. Like, and then you saw what he was able to do once he had a front office, a coach, an organization around him who knew how to, you know, move pieces around and, you know, make him successful. I really got nothing but respect. And he's a humble dude, obviously. I got nothing but respect for what he was able to accomplish this season. And I'm happy for him. But I'm mostly happy that he got some really important people hardware this season, and he was a big part of that. So I still won my McVay. I still won the McVay sweepstakes, man. I still did. He's a clown. I think we all
he got our coach for about 95% of that game. But
He's a weird guy, that guy is, man.
And let me talk about Stafford real quick, because I want to my friend's Dev, his podcast in the beginning of the year, before the season started, and I said, like, I was confused as to why the acquisition of Stafford moved them up to, like, top three in the Super Bowl odds. And I think at that time, I still think it was a little bit too much, like, premature to have it that high. But I think the acquisitions of Odell and Von Miller definitely helped along the way. You feel me?
So, yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm not going to say. Like, it's still hard to gauge. Like, and then, of course, like, the Hall of Fame talks coming out. I mean, you know, like, obviously it's going to be a thing for him. I don't know. It's still hard to gauge, but – and I'm not taking nothing from their success, any player on that team, McVay or whatever, but I don't know. It's still a little hard for me to gauge, but
– yeah, definitely. I think when I look at it, because obviously it's a copycat league, and it's actually funny how much the NFL – I mean, we copy the success of others. I think it's actually one of the things I like most about the league is, you know, if it worked for that person, let me try to do it better. But we just saw the previous year with the Buccaneers, my team. We got a quarterback too, first home Super Bowl. Got a roster that was ready to win. We just needed a QB to take us over the edge. And we can laud and applaud Brady for everything that he did. But we don't win that Super Bowl if Gronk isn't there, you know? Like, we had to go out and get him. And we don't win that Super Bowl if we don't get a paper off AB. No, we don't want a Super Bowl like that.
And Vita VA getting healthy at the perfect time. Like,
Vita VA getting healthy. Like, a lot of things had to go right. A lot of people had to come and fuck with the vision. And Brady, obviously, is a huge part of that. He gets a ton of credit because we don't get those people if Brady doesn't come to Tampa.
Right.
You know, to compare to Stafford, OBJ doesn't make LA his number one destination if Stafford's not there balling and not in a position where it looks like they can win a Super Bowl. And Von Miller, they're gonna go out and be aggressive and go get Von Miller. They're like, yo, we got AD, he's 30, this might be his last run. You know, well, we need to go out and be aggressive and try to get him as much help as possible too. So I think Stafford deserves a huge amount of credit for what he's able to do this year. He gets a huge amount of credit for those guys signing up there. And if they run it back, you know, he's a huge reason why for that too. So shout out to Stafford though.
But how do you feel about how the game ended?
I have a lot to say about this, actually, funny enough. I get the whole and I don't want to come off obviously as a hater because he had an incredible season. Cooper Kupp winning Super Bowl MVP to me was absolutely outrageous.
Really? You think Stafford?
Nah, Aaron Donald, man.
Okay.
Aaron Donald 100% deserved that.
I think the narrative was because for maybe about a quarter and a half to two quarters, he was, I guess you could say, non-existent. Like, he didn't have any quarterback hurries. I think at halftime, he only had one quarterback hurry. Like, that was his only stat.
I understand that, but it's like when I think about how the game was going, right? And I had a conversation with my boy Orion, who was watching it. And we were talking about who have been the best players in the Super Bowl at this point. I think it was the third quarter. And we said, you know, Stafford, obviously after OBJ went down, he was struggling. We can't say OBJ anymore. He had two gets for 30 yards and he went down. Mm-hmm. Kupp was relatively quiet too. He only had 50 yards about until that last drive. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, Aaron Donald at every big spot in this game has made a play. Yeah. To that point.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, like, the narrative of how they gauge it to who to give the award to.
Right. I heard it's because they vote with, like, 3 minutes to go in the game. That's when they vote. And at that point, Kupp has caught the game-winning touchdown. He's converted that fourth down.
Exactly.
And
that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how I know that's how they do it. They do it, like, with 5 minutes left.
Right. But my thing with Donald was – after that, I believe it was after they got the pick, and they could have gone up two scores at this point. It was right after the Rams were like reeling out the OBJ left. It's a big third down. Who gets a sack? Aaron Donald pushes the dude all the way back into Stafford's lap. Right, mm-hmm. He getting triple teamed on down in that same quarter. Joey B is 6 yards outside the hash to his left. If you could picture that, right? And Aaron Donald is on
the defense's left hash, which would be Joey B's right.
And then he comes and pushes him out of bounds. Yeah,
exactly. Hustles his 295-pound ass all the way over there.
And then that gets credited as a sack. I remember.
Credited as a sack, right? Puts him out of bounds. Not only stops the clock, gives offense more time late in the third, but prevents them from continuing the drive, possibly getting more points then. And then this is what kills me. The biggest fucking play of the game was that fourth down. Because the Bengals are at the 45-ish, right? And they have all the time. They have two timeouts still. They can still go and get a field goal, possibly win the game. And who comes up big? And people are going to bring up that Jalen Ramsey got smoked. By the way, to preface that, that was with like 4 seconds after the snap. And he was like and once he saw Jalen Ramsey pressed up, that was his last read. So it was not like Ramsey got burned, smoked, or whatever. But he got through so fast, Joe had no chance to go win that game. And so for me, I know when we look back on this game in 30 years, because we're going to talk about Donald for a long time, mm-hmm. and people are going to watch the game, and they're going to watch that final drive, and they're going to watch Cup make every crucial catch, and I get how important he was in that fourth down run. He picked up 7 when they needed 2, and he catches not one, but 2 game winners because the first one didn't count. I get all that, but when I think back and watch this game, the greatest player I've ever seen a quarterback is going to be what I remember, and I think he deserved Super Bowl MVP for what he did, bro. 2 tackles, all those hurries. He got Samaje Perine. He stopped him on a 3rd-and-1 with 1 arm while he's falling mm-hmm. down. Like, every player I could think of where they needed to get back in the game and make a play and keep it alive because the offense was doing nothing. Aaron Donald was leading the charge.
I agree with you 100%. That's crazy. Like, I really didn't have an opinion on it. Like, you know, if they give it to Cooper Kupp, I get it. But I agree with you. I hear you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I'm no shade of Cup. He had an incredible season, like probably if not the greatest wide receiver season ever, man. And could it be any greater than capitalizing it off with catching the game when it touched down in the Super Bowl? Don't think it can. So he had a Cinderella story of his own. But me personally, I'm giving it to 99, man.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a couple more like talking points about this game. What you think about the Logan Wilson hold call?
I probably would have let it go because at that point, there had been 2, I believe, if I remember correctly, it had been 2 flags called the entire game. And they were letting them play for the majority of the game. And the Logan Wilson call, as a former linebacker, that is such a difficult...
And that's what I've come on. We both play linebacker. Like,
dude, that is such a difficult play to make one-on-one with a slot receiver, though.
Perfect defense. How do you teach a linebacker what to do? And like that's what we teach them. You know, that's how we were taught, Jab.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, and all the sneaky ways you can get away and holding. Because I'm because for the people who bitch about this, by the way, there is holding at some level on every single
play.
DBs hold, receivers push off. Offensive line, defensive line, they hold it, they're trying to get through. There's hold on every play. So if you play in extra super duper slow motion, yes, I get it. He tugged the back of his jersey a little bit. But at that point, and you're in that gray area where is it 5 yards down the field, is it not? Like, you let him play at that point, dog. Like, that's too big. The Eli Apple shit, I get it. He was getting the Eli Apple 1-on-1 in front of everybody.
That's understandable. But you can't, like you said, like, come on, in that situation, under 2 minutes, you know, it's the end of the game. Like, you can't, come on, man.
I get why they threw it. I'm not throwing that flag. I'm not letting that shit. No, I can't do that. I'm sorry, Steph. You're going to have to dial it back and, you know, make another play. But a 6'2", 240-pound dude, one-on-one with Cup in the slot, and you get a slight, if anything, tug on the back of the jersey, like, that's just tricks of the trade to me, dog. Like, come on, dog. Like, how else are you supposed to keep up?
Yeah. That was just crazy to me.
How did you feel about the missed face mask on T. Higgins? Because obviously it was a big, obviously huge turning point in the game for the Bengals. I mean, it's the first goddamn play at the halftime.
Yeah, so this is one of the things I haven't asked anyone, but it's kind of just been on my mind. I thought those type of plays were the reason why they implemented the, like, new challenge rules. I thought you could challenge that.
I thought they had that shit for a year and then took it away for whatever reason. Okay. I haven't seen anybody throw a flag on a PI call in a minute. I don't see that I can remember.
Yeah. It's. I mean, obviously, it was a face mask. It should have been a flag, but I feel like that was a missed call. You know, I think the like from whatever angle the ref was at, I think it was just an honest missed call.
Mm. I mean, yeah, it was a huge missed call in the game.
Yeah, like first play out of the half, you play action, you go and you attack Jalen Ramsey. That's
right.
That's tough.
We're not on this pod to defend referees, obviously, but I got to get this out. That is a really difficult.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
The angle he was at, there's no way he could have been able to tell that was a face mask. Like, there's zero chance that it, especially happened as fast as it did.
I'm gonna say this. I want to see what you think about it. I feel like because Ramsey had been getting beat deep and recently, I feel like the refs didn't call, like they didn't speculate nothing.
Oh, so you saying he kind of lost like the refs like leeway, you know?
Yeah.
Normally, a couple years ago, in a similar sense, I mean, he did kind of flop a little bit on that Gallup play. I don't know if you remember that Cowboys game.
Yeah.
But he got that call. But, you know, we've seen Mike do him dirty the week before or 2 weeks before, actually. And then 3 weeks before, actually. Did we play the divisional? Yeah, Debo, 3 weeks before.
Debo did him earlier in the year.
Debo got him earlier, and then Chase beat him deep. You know, it's actually really weird. He's been really bad late in phase this year, but that's not even there. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so that could have been part of it too. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't consider that. That's actually a really good point. Fucking so, okay, we gotta get because we spent a little bit of time talking about obviously the Rams, Texans, and Phillies, and we really talked about the Bengals in the capacity of what they could have done more to win. But I have one more thing.
Yeah.
Why the fuck did Joe Mixon not get the ball more?
Bro, why is he not on the field on the biggest third down like play of the game? What?
For all my bettors out there, by the way, it's not legal in Texas, but I do prize picks, and I did see Samaje Perine prop bets, and I'm sitting here.
It was 2.5, right?
I think it was 2.5. Receptions or carries, I can't remember which one it was, but I'm sitting here. I'm at 3 a.m. arguing with my boy, talking about there's no way he's going to be, like, there's no way he's getting the ball like that. He's not part of the game plan. Little did I know, Zach Taylor had other plans. Why the fuck is he 3rd-and-1, biggest play of the game? Why is Joe Mixon not in the game?
So this is my thing about the Samaje shit. If you look at the flow of the game, he was giving, what's the other back they have? Chris Evans?
Yeah.
He was giving Chris Evans Perine touches.
Right.
So why on the, like, I just don't understand. I don't get that, Zach Taylor. That's crazy. Joe Mixon averaging almost 5 yards a carry.
Dude, like, early in the game, especially to take the heat off of Joe, they were running the ball pretty effectively. And even Chris Evans, like, on receiving downs, they threw him, like, a couple, like, option routes and, like, I think a wheel out of the backfield, too. It was working. And it was fine. I don't understand why they would get away from Joe Mixon ended the fucking Chiefs game. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could not stop him down the stretch of that game. They couldn't stop him. What was the game they played before? The Chiefs game?
Was it the Raiders before the Chiefs? Yeah. Had to be.
Or was it the Titans one?
Titans.
I'm thinking, no, it was Titans. It was the Titans.
Yep.
Bro, like he in big moments of their playoff run, he was coming up big. The whole, like, in those little, like, pin and pull counter runs that I like to run with him, like, he was actually hooping.
That was one of the biggest things of the game. Why was Joe Mixon not on the field on the biggest play of the game?
I hate to compare it to the Shanahan thing, but considering the stakes that you were on the road, like on the road, right? Like, because this is an LA home game for them, right? And you got all these Hall of Famers on the other side, and you got this young ass team. And by the way, I'm not saying he's never gonna make it back, but it is really, really, really hard to get back to a
Super. Really, and let's look at the landscape of the AFC.
Yeah, like, with
young guys, you know what I mean? It's tough. It's gonna be tough.
You can't afford to, in those moments, get away from what wins you games. That's why, for all the fault we give the Chiefs of Patrick Mahomes, they know who they are, bro. Patrick Mahomes, and they should run the ball more. But they're like, this is who we are, Patrick Mahomes. We have an identity. He goes and makes plays. We throw the ball. We throw the ball on fourth down. We throw the ball. We like little out routes. We sit to Tyreek Hill when we can. We'll go to Kelce on big third down. This is who we are. Getting away from Joe Mixon to go to respectfully a much lesser talent on the biggest play of the game, and then running at Aaron Donald with a third back. I just I couldn't believe the call, bro. I really couldn't.
So we kind of on this pod, we kind of been critical of Zach Taylor all year. He's one of the coaches we kind of would bring up all the time.
All the time.
And we were always up and down. Like, and one thing I was always constant with is his talent, obviously, is carrying him. And in some spaces, and I think I said on the last episode, I'm telling people, those young guys are built different. It's, if they lose, it's going to be on the coach.
Yeah. And, you know, it came to fruition just like you said it would. It really was on him. They were getting beat up front. I think they had 7 sacks, 9 QB hits. So their offensive line is getting, like, dogged out because, you know, from football minds, once you're on your heels all the time and you're throwing, it is hard to drop back and throw the ball that many times. Just has an offensive lineman. So they're already –
Shout out Joe Burrow, too, for taking all that heat and not even – I don't think he had a turnover.
No, he didn't blink. And I thought he had his leg ripped off late in that game, too.
Man. And I think he sprained it, his ACL, but he don't need no surgery, so he good.
Yeah, but you're already up against it with Vaughn and, you know, obviously Sheldon. I think Sheldon Day actually got hurt early in the year, but Fowler, not Fowler. What's the other one?
Hey, shout out A'shaun Robinson. He had a great game.
A'shaun played his ass off too, especially in that second half.
Nobody's gonna talk about it, but yeah.
Yeah, but with Donald and Vaughn, and you know, you got A'shaun up front too, and I think it's Chris Gaines or Eric Gaines up front, number 91, and I can't remember the edge. Who else they got opposite of Vaughn?
Leonard.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd. It's already hard enough when they can just pin their ears back and just go, but you also giving them the advantage as an offensive lineman where you on your heels the whole game. You know what I'm saying? Because you're already not running the ball already. But
and two, we've been saying all year, like, man, the Rams are light at linebacker.
They are.
But they played well. Like, number 50, like, he made, like, 4 timely plays for them. Just being able to run sideline to sideline because the front four going to take up, like, they're going to do the dirty work.
Yeah, because you got to put 3 niggas on Donald, and, you know, fucking A'shaun taking up 2 gaps himself. And so all you got to do is run around and just make plays, and that's what they were able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Von Miller, we got to talk about, as an all-time clutch performer, especially in the Super Bowls, 2 sacks again, once again. One of the best edge rushers we've ever seen, might ever see. They need him back desperately at the end of the season, though. Like, him next to AD, that's a lethal, 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 all-time lethal combination. Hey, that's so hard to block.
I know Cap not a real thing, but how are the Rams doing this, man?
I don't understand, because I saw it the other day. It was, like, projected cap space. Like, if they extend people, you know the bullshit y'all been getting away with?
Yeah, flipping the signing bonuses and shit.
Yeah, y'all can make a lot of cap space noise too. But for them, they said they can really bring everybody back, and I'm sitting here wondering how the fuck can niggas get away with this shit.
I believe it. I actually believe it because Nick Underhill, he's one of the reporters for the Saints. He did an article earlier in the year about how we could get in the green without releasing anyone. So,
yeah. But if they get them back, where does that rank as far as a pass rushing duo? And it's weird because normally we would think about 2 edge rushers, you know, like Vaughn and Ware, or, you know, Dumervil and Suggs, like back in the day a little bit. But where does that duo rank as far as edge rushing? Like as far as pure talent, have we seen something like that before?
I mean, Vaughn, just pure talent. He might be the closest thing to LT, like just pound for pound.
Right.
So. I would have to say it's the best. I mean, because Aaron Donald is arguably the best interior defensive lineman ever. Yeah, it got to be number one.
Yeah, I really can't think of, from a pure talent perspective, we're talking about an all-time – Aaron Donald might be 1A, 1B with LT. And we're talking about Vaughn, as far as pure ability, might be one of the best that we've ever seen. Yep. That's going to be a tough duo to block up front, dog. Part of me as a Bucks fan, I don't want to see them niggas again. So I was like, please retire, Aaron Donald. Please just put me out of my misery, man. But yeah, shout out to them, dude. Like, what an incredible season. We from Cali. What a great, great year it is for the Rams and California and everything they're doing over there, man. So I, at the end of the day, man, I really couldn't hate. I had to admit, I was pulling, even though I hated them all year, I was really pulling for Ram, my boys Ramsey and Cam came back from Achilles and everything. My FSU boys, I was really rooting for them to win it too. So,
yeah, I can't give a fuck about them. But yeah, good season.
You hate it, man.
Nah, good season, man. They had a good season. That's tough too, man. Shout out Cam coming back from Achilles, man. What Achilles and ACLs and MCLs, and they were career killers, man, 20 years ago. It's crazy.
Dude, especially for a running back with as much lateral movement as you have to do.
His specific running style too, you know. That's,
yeah. It's really based off of explosion and, you know, being able to really move around.
That's crazy.
Let's get into these awards though.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers. I know we're not supposed to take playoffs into consideration, but him winning his fourth MVP is egregious to me, and it should have been Brady. And I know that sounds like some homerism, but let me tell you why.
Oh my God, man.
How in the fuck does I'm gonna take week one out of it because it was a long time ago, but do we forget that he just lied to the league about being vaccinated and cost his team a game? Like, yeah. Does that shit not matter? If you can't raw stats. It's not even close with him and Brady. You can't raw stat me to death. You can't. Don't bring up the talent argument or whatever the fuck, because we've never cared about that. Brady, age 45, 5K, and 40 plus touchdowns, bro. Won his division. How is he not the MVP? And I know playoffs don't matter, but we saw once again Brady, I was stacked against him. I could count on 12 to get me back in the game. If Aaron Rodgers gets down in a playoff game at any point, it's look like they're doing with Kyler Murray right now. Body language wise, leadership wise.
Yeah, you know, this is a crazy day, man. I hate that I'm agreeing with you again, man. But for me, it's like arguing the lesser of two evils.
Right.
Like with Brady and Rodgers. It's, I mean, MVP was so, it was such a weird year because, and we were saying it like deep into the year, like week 12, like this was the first year. It's a toss up. Like, we don't know who's going to the Super Bowl and we don't know who's going to win MVP. Like, I think giving it to Aaron Rodgers was lazy.
It was lazy. It was just best player with on the best team with the best record.
Yeah, it was lazy.
That's what it felt like to me, because I don't know. I think the real story of the second half was like their defense was turning around. I think he kind of, because for all Brady, I guess he got shut out versus the Saints. I guess that was the nail in the coffin as far as his MVP candidacy. But they both had bad losses. It's just Brady, late in the year, he had a comeback. I know it's against the Jets, so we don't respect that. But, I mean, those points still matter, man. Someone got to throw those balls, and no receivers down the stretch, getting it done. Like, I don't know. I think this would have been a perfect send off moment too for Brady as far as winning it in his last season. But yeah, I guess fuck you, Aaron Rodgers, man. You did not deserve that shit, dog.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even have been mad if they did give it to Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been mad either. And that lame ass suit he was wearing too when he won it. Jesus, everything was wrong, man. Everything was wrong with that night.
Right.
Jamar Chase being now Mac Jones for Offensive Rookie of the Year. How we feel about that?
That's easy.
That's easy money?
Yeah, I feel like that was Rookie of the Year. It was landslide, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I thought he deserved it. They didn't give it to obviously Mac is a quarterback, and you know he was in the Pro Bowl and everything. And I thought they would just jump at the chance to give, you know, the next Patriots quarterback Offensive Rookie of the Year. I thought that was what it was going to be. But
I think people would have attacked him. Not
yeah, they would have.
But the, you know, like the league, like players, like you, we've been seeing players been real vocal lately.
Yeah.
So I think people would have been vocal about it. Like, come on, man.
And it's not even like Mac didn't deserve it too. So I think if they attacked him, it would have been a little cool. Like, he was clear as day the best like rookie quarterback. Like, it was clear as day. It's just Chase was arguably the best player at his position.
Yeah.
So. Nah, and there's no arguments there for me about that. Offensive Player of the Year, I got a little bit of a problem with Cup winning it, and I think we need a best receiver versus Offensive Player of the Year.
Debo, you want?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think Debo should have been the Offensive Player of the Year.
And I think we need a wide receiver work because I'm gonna tell you what, in the true spirit of the name of it, offensive player, right? Is it the player who means the most to the offense? Is it the who has the most stats? I think Deebo being a threat and the way they use him this year from anywhere on the field, he was throwing it, he was running it, he was catching it at a high level with a lesser quarterback, and Kittle was banged up a little bit for the year, and Shanahan was being a bozo with the Ayuk situation. I think Deebo really did deserve it. And he's one of the hardest players to game plan against because at any moment, he could be in a power eye. What if he – is he lined up split close and he's, you know, that tight end, you know, rollout option? Is he out wide or is he in the slot? Just – he does it in so many different ways. I think he really deserved it.
Yeah, I agree. Wow. I'm agreeing with you way too much.
Yeah, no, you got to start fighting back, man. You know, you got to start being a hater. Real shit.
Yeah, people know I hate Jab, man. People know it. People hey, know it.
The public knows it, but when you write, you write. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just think he deserved that shit, though.
Yeah.
Another person who could have won it though was Jonathan Taylor, and I think he kind of
fit down the pitch a little bit. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah,
but he definitely has some claim to the fame for that.
Definitely. What a year by him, man.
Yeah, shout out to the people who said running backs don't matter, man. What Carson Wentz look like when that nigga can't break 100? Get back to me, man.
Come on, man. Maples, I remember that shit, man.
Hey, Maples, you a funny guy, man. Yeah. Real shit, you a funny guy.
You a funny
guy. That whole anti-Zeke shit they ain't going on.
Yeah, man. Then he gets on the pod and said, "Yeah, I don't want to see the Niners." Then was like, then came was on Twitter. Was like, "Man, we could smoke the Niners." Like, no,
like he real slippery character, man. Yeah. Defensive player of the year went to T.J. Watt, of course.
I feel like he was robbed of it last year. So yeah,
he was definitely robbed of it last year. You remember when Reek was saying Matthew Judon? I said, what a funny time. I love football, man. Just looking back at all the crazy shit people say. TJ well deserved, dog. Just finally stepping out of his brother's shadow. So shout out to him, man. He really that guy, man. 22 and a half sacks in 15 games. So they can't even make the argument that he was, you know, with the extra game, you know, it doesn't really count. Nah, bro. 15 games, 22 and a half, man.
And people said he was robbed of the record.
Low key, y'all, oh, man. You remember when Favre gave it a straight hand? That shit was so late, man.
Yeah, man. Like he really went out there and got it, and they didn't count a sack for him. I think
shit was so pussy.
Yeah, come on, man.
I think that's one of the lowest moments in all of sports history. It's just, oh, here you go, and then he's over there crying like he really got earned the shit.
Right, come on, bro.
Yeah, shit was bad. Defensive rookie year, no surprise went to Micah Parsons. That hey, he's a fucking problem, dog.
Yeah,
he's a problem. He's a fucking when you have a because he was obviously a Mike in college, but who the fuck drafts a Mike who your star DN gets hurt and you're like, yeah, move over there, and he's like, okay, bet. And I think he had the highest pass rush win rate in the entire league over that stretch.
What's crazy about him? It wasn't like he was winning with moves. It was just all hustle and athleticism.
If he actually spent some time getting his craft together off the edge, like we might be looking at him as up there with you know, maybe the Boses and all of them, man. Like, bro, he had 13 sacks as a Mike.
That is nuts.
That's unbelievable, bro. And then he can cover. He can obviously stop the run. Like, I mean, he's not better than Devin White, but he's really damn close.
All right, man.
Hey, listen, Devin White gave niggas 145 last year and 9.5. So I'm not going to let niggas
forget. All right, y'all. I'm going to be posting up new applications for new members in the D3rd. We are looking for new members.
Oh, shit, man. Hey, no. Hey,
the bug propaganda is nasty, man.
Hey, listen. Hey, for 10 years, I had to stay down while niggas shat all over my niggas. So I'm going to big up them whenever I can, man. Y'all niggas wasn't there when it was Isaiah Johnson Brent Grimes and Vernon Hargraves and Ryan Smith one-on-one with Julio Jones, man. Y'all weren't there for that, man.
I promise if y'all end up with Russ or Deshaun, I'm going to just pray you go to hell, bro. It just has to be that way, bro.
We gonna talk about that shit at a later date, but hey, keep your eyes open, keep your head on a swivel. Now it just might happen.
Y'all gonna end up with Jimmy G.
Hey, if that happened, man, hey, I'll take my talents to South Beach, man. Hey, but comeback player of the year, of course, went to the kid Joe Burrow, well deserved. His knee injury last year was the ugliest shit I ever saw, though.
Yeah, it was. It could have been him or Bosa, because I saw the little uproar with Niner fans about Bosa not getting it. It could have been either or, but
yeah, I think Burrow leading this team, especially getting them to the Super Bowl, man. No arguments over here, man.
Yeah.
You know, PFF said he was the best quarterback in the league this year.
Yeah, but we don't listen to PFF. But
you don't respect PFF? I respect PFF when to support agendas.
To support agendas. Yep, same.
Yeah, they can't be wrong 100% of the time. You know what I'm saying? Like a couple times here, they got you right.
But that's tough. The best quarterback. I would have to see how they analyzing that, how they breaking that down.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna bring up no negative things about Joey B today, man. Oh, by the way, speaking more about Joey B, with Brady out the league, the media got to start looking for new villains. And I peep the shit they doing with Joey B, man.
Yeah, me too. Everybody does. Everybody peeps it.
I peep on the slide. So for those of y'all who don't know what me and Ben talking about, this is what the media loves to do, right? They do this shit a little with NBA too, with Dame Lillard and everything,
and Chris Paul. And because Aaron Rodgers aging out, they need somebody young too.
Yeah. This is what the media likes to do. They ignore you to the point where or they don't give you the credit you deserve, right? And to the point where the fans start clamoring and asking for recognition. You know, people did that a lot for Dame Lillard, especially in Portland. When you're in a small market at Cincinnati, Ohio, for example. And people talking about the Justin Herbert's the world and this story about Baker Mayfield every week and everything. And, you know, Kyler Murray, but people not talking about what Joey B doing. And so once Joey B starts winning, starts getting more on a big stage, the media likes to do this shit. This is how sly they are. They like to over fucking pump you with stories. Now there's Joey B merchandise, and it's, oh, Shicey Joe, and they call him Joe Burn. There's 1,000 different corny-ass nicknames they try to do it so that eventually the pedestal you put him on becomes their downfall, and now he's a villain, and now everybody ruining him to fail because of what the media is doing. And everybody peeped the game on the slide, but I'm just saying they need a new villain in the league now that Tom Brady out, and just might be Joey B with the way shit going.
Yep. We're going to have to see how it pans out the next, like, 2-3 years. But, yeah, that Super Bowl propaganda for him was crazy.
It was really bad. Like I see people who are down loyal Bengals fans like, man, like, shut the hell up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, stop it.
Right.
But, yeah, shout out to Joey B, though. That's a real quarterback right there, man. Coach of the year went to Mike Vrabel. I was talking about it a couple weeks ago. Definitely deserve that.
Yeah.
Being able to stay afloat without your best player and with Ryan Tanner under center, they might have to give you 2 Coach of the Year awards for that.
Because Derek was damn near the MVP of the league before he got hurt. He was going to be the MVP.
No, he was.
So, yeah, to stay afloat, number one seed. Yeah.
Especially with all the injuries they were dealing with all the time. I remember early in the year, they played the Jets, and I think like their top 4 wideouts were all hurt. Like I literally could not name one person who they were playing with. It was right. Like, you know, they had to convert someone off the practice squad who was a gunner on special teams. That was their number one option that week. Like
they played without their first rounder all year.
Yeah, mind you, this is also after Henry got hurt too. So they on their second and third running backs, their 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 receivers. Like it was complete madness, man.
Right.
So I think Vrabel deserves a huge, you know, piece of pie for that shit. Shout out to Vrabel. It's a random question, but what do the Patriots do from here with Mac? Like, how do they approach this offseason? Do they go get him weapons? Do they just hope he gets better? Like, what's the plan of attack?
Well, without McDaniels, so, everybody knows how it is when a quarterback, especially when they're young, when they have to learn a whole new playbook. So I feel like that's going to – I don't know how that's going to play into Max development, but I feel like to offset that, you definitely need to go get him weapons. So,
yeah,
that has to be the plan. I don't know whether it's free agency or the draft, but it's tough because free agency, how are you going to lure whatever big-name free agent receiver, like, to come play? It's not – Tom Brady's not there no more. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly. Like that, Sean, how are you going to convince Alshon – I mean, not Alshon, fuck, Allen Robinson?
Yeah. How do you convince Allen Robinson to go take fucking Mac Jones, you know, 7-yard slant? So how do you convince Juju, who wants to be in a big market, I'm sure, to get his brand and his shit off, to, you know, take less possibly and come play for the Patriots and shit? Like, how do you approach that?
Yeah, so that's tough.
They're in a weird spot, but I just got so much respect for Bill. The only reason I'm even bringing this up is because, I don't know, I thought Braywell and that linked me to Bill, but that's the really only reason I'm even bringing this up.
I feel like with the receivers, you can't miss in the first round. Like,
yeah.
There should be no N'Keal Harry or situation.
You feel me? If he misses, then just retire, bro.
There's no way he can. That's why it's like, I'm thinking about it like, come on, bro, you can't. You can't.
I guess we should probably wait until we do our season recap videos to discuss this more. But I really wonder, like, would the Bengals be crazy to just pick 4 offensive linemen in the first round? Or all throughout the draft, just load up, just whoever wins type of thing?
They probably got money. I don't know what their cap situation is. They're not paying no one, like, crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Teron Armstead is going to be a free agent. You get him, and then maybe if you could trade up and get that center out of Iowa.
Oh, Linderbaum?
Yep.
Yeah, no, he's nice. He's a little undersized, but he's a little Jason Kelsey-esque.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like, just there's options. There's definitely ways for them to fix the offensive line and get better.
Yeah, definitely. They got a bright future. It's gonna be it must be nice having a franchise quarterback, man. Like, we down bad over here. That is shit must be nice, man. Real shit. That shit must be nice,
man. Hey, what you think about the Niners? I know it's early, but dude, those videos of Trey Lance are nuts.
I'm about to say, you sent me the clip the other day. Like, man, Trey Lance, Trey Area looking kind of nice in practice.
He's nuts, and you know, man, the year the Niners are on their Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
So Trey Lance was in the middle of that crazy season he was having at North Dakota State. I was already talking about him. I knew, like, I saw what he was doing.
As far as I can remember, you and Lax Ned were the earliest Trey Lance, Lax Ned on Twitter. Go ahead.
Yep, shout out.
Trey Lance supporters I've seen.
Yeah, so they low-key one of my early favorites for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Them and the Rams are gonna have wars next year. That's all I know, man.
But, yeah,
we'll get into that a little. We're gonna have Malik back and Ant back and a bunch of different dudes. Basically, me and Bear are doing this. If y'all made it this far on the podcast, we're gonna do like season like projections and like outlooks and shit episodes. We're planning on doing them by division, so we're probably gonna start with, I imagine, the NFC South, because that's where me and Bear are at. I don't know. We might save it for last. We don't know yet. But we're just gonna have fans of different teams coming on to get your shit off. What y'all think they should do? What's likely to happen? All of that.
Yep. So, DM us if y'all want to get on that. You feel me?
Yeah. DM us. Add us. Just, you know, if y'all trying to, you know, just let me know what team you are. We'll let y'all know what the schedule and everything's working with. But we'll work with y'all's schedule, work around that, obviously. But yeah, man. What a hell of a season that shit was, dog. Can't, like, if you had told me at the beginning of the year that we were going to get a Rams home Super Bowl versus the Bengals, I would have lashed you in your fucking face, dude.
2 years back-to-back, we get the home team, like, the team playing in their home stadium.
Who's hosting it next year? Have they decided yet?
I think it's Arizona.
Ah, Lord have mercy. Here we go. We might get 3 in a row. I'm about to go put some money down. Hold on. We got to get 3 in a row.
I don't know. The Cardinals?
The Cardinals, they're in the headlines a lot now. That's not some good shit, but I don't know. By the way, They haven't extended Kyler yet, though. That's a little weird to me, but
that's the reason behind the little picture shit.
Yeah.
Hmm. I mean, I don't never fall for that shit because like he's still in his rookie deal. They always extend, like, you know what I mean. They'll never just leave after the rookie deal.
Yeah, but it's usually when you got a guy who you trust, you extend him early. You know what I'm saying? Like they threw all the money in the world at Mahomes. Like with like 3 or 2 years to go on your rookie deal, they'll be like, "Yo, let's get this extension out the way so we can, you know, try to save a little money in the future." Obviously, they want you to hit the market when that shit gets reset.
Yeah, that's true. Lamar still, he don't got the extension yet either. So
yeah, it's Saturday, future buck.
Come on, man.
Hey, listen. You throw enough coins out there, man, you're going to get a dollar back.
There's no way any of these players going to the Bucks before the Saints.
Why would they pick y'all, though? Like real shit, why would they pick y'all? We just went to the Super Bowl.
Way more, yeah, because Brady, man, we way more attractive than y'all, man.
Hell no. In that game, who won the game? The defense. Defense that we keeping together. And we still got our old line together. We got way better weapons, and we got more money. What y'all got? Dennis Allen?
We got a top 5 defense.
Hey, you got a cute little defense over there. I'm not gonna lie to you, but yeah, who coming over there to throw to Callaway, man? Like, come on.
Nah, we gonna get Michael Gallup. We gonna sign Michael Gallup. Mike Thomas gonna come back.
With what money?
He gonna come. Which we gonna get in the green, man? I just told you, man. Shout out Nick Underhill, man.
Ah, come on, dog. We gonna get in the green.
We gonna sign Michael Gallup. Hey, trust me. There's so many things we could do. We don't even need. Okay, so you saw that shit with Eric Bieniemy, right? You think he's staying in KC?
I didn't see what you mean.
Well, you know, it's been like a little rift with Eric Bieniemy in the building. Like, I know you peeped the little shit with the play calling.
Yeah. At
the year between him and Andy.
It was which was also weird, by the way. Like, it's not really related, but anytime shit is going right, Andy Reid a genius. Anytime it's wrong,
it's Eric weird.
Their jaw.
Yeah, that shit is weird. And then I forgot who it was. Somebody sent me an article on Twitter like a day or two ago, and it was talking about Mahomes and Bieniemy had a rift.
That's crazy. I ain't see all that yet.
Yeah, so you could probably Google that. So you know what I mean? And he's from New Orleans.
Come on,
get out of the shadow of Mahomes, because people think it's just you can't do it because it's Andy and Mahomes there. So – bro, if we get him, we're definitely getting a young quarterback or getting a vet. We're changing the helmet quarterback for sure.
Yeah, when Alvin Kamara's in jail to start the season, man, holla at me, man.
All right. Hey, y'all, I'm tweeting that link out of the application. New members of the Deep Third Pod. This shit is crazy, man. Now, Marshawn got caught with a dirty gun and get suspended, so come on, man. We good.
Hey, man. Hey, what an episode, man. Hey, but we're going to be back. We're going to be fucking with y'all. Go ahead, interact with our pages and everything. Hell of a season. We still going to give y'all off-season content, too. That's what's crazy. We really do this year-round. So yeah, football not on, but nigga, we are.
And we're going to really do those episodes for the divisions. We're going to, like, do them back-to-back-to-back. We're going to give y'all hella content because we know we've been away getting shit together. I got some new shit I'm going to announce to y'all. I'm coaching at a new place and shit this year. Me and Jab moved. We just been doing shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been a crazy last couple months, man, but we going to shake back, man. So appreciate y'all stopping by and listening. It's your boy Jab.
Yeah, it's your boy Bear, man.
All right, man. We out.
We out.